Because I really feel like going home in any case. So this is now giving me a reason to do it. Now, I'm very serious about this. And this is the Millennium Development Goal. There's a goal specifically for environment. And no one thinks that it's necessary that at least the DDG has to be. But okay, it's not your fault. You're just doing a job. I tell you, I take great exception. I hope the committee endorses this. That the DG, or that I have not been informed about this person. I expect, I will never, if I have to do something with the minister or the DG, I will never send a message to their secretaries. Well, I send a message to the secretary, but I'll first send it to the minister and a copy to the secretary. And a copy to Errol, the other. But I will never, if I have to appear in front of the minister, send, you know, not speak to a person and say, I can't be here. And not send my senior staff to come and address these issues. All right, let's get on with it. Let's see what it says. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you, Chair. I've been tasked to present a broad overview of the department's involvement in the Millennium Development Goals. The department participated in the compilation of the 2010 MDG report, together with a range of other government departments and NGOs. But before I get to the MDG goals themselves, I would just like to provide a summary of where we are, what the problems are that we face in the country. I think generally we can say that South Africa's environment...
Yes,
he's going to do it now.
Procedurally... Apologies. I'm Rudy Pretorius. I'm the Director for Geographic Information Systems. Previously, the Director, State of the Environment and Environmental Statistics, responsible for the State of the Environment Report and Environmental Statistics. My portfolio now in the department deals with spatial information. The issue really is that South Africa faces a number of environmental issues. The environment is deteriorating, and we cannot ignore the potential impacts of climate change. Ecosystem failure will seriously compromise our ability to address social and economic priorities in the short term. And I think we all agree that natural resources are national economic assets, and that South Africa's economy depends heavily on energy and mineral resources, biodiversity, agriculture, forestry, fishing, and ecotourism. Some of the areas of concern that was highlighted by the 2007 State of the Environment report is that water demand is expected to rise by 52%. There are huge impacts of industrial activities on the environment. We have poor waste management, and a lack of access to waste services still persists throughout the country. The severity of wastewater pollution, especially in the marine environment, has continued to grow. We have unplanned and uncontrolled coastal development, and land degradation remains a serious challenge. With regards to water availability and quality, the State of the Environment report points out that the country has less water available of poorer quality than before, that almost all the exploitable sources are tapped, that there are deficits in more than half of the water management areas, that's water deficits, and that there's the water quality has deteriorated in some areas since the 2007 Environment Report. With regards to marine and coastal resources, as much as 40% of South Africa's population lives within 100 kilometers of the coast. This brings along substantial development pressure for infrastructure. As I've indicated, daily discharge discharges of wastewater into the marine environment has increased, and the figure that we present here is 62% between 2001 and 2006. I think the one light point is that the number of South Africa's blue flag beaches, these are beaches that conform to specific international standards, have increased from 4 in 2001 to 23 in 2010. As far as industrialization is concerned and that impacts on the environment, we have more than 200,000 hectares of natural habitat being transported by mining activities. As we know, mining lowers the quality of surface water, and air pollution can cause damage to human health. And there is, in the State of the Environment report, some of the figures are presented in that report. Climate change, just to reflect that absolute temperatures has increased by about 0.6 degrees over the last century. Over the last decade, the annual ambient temperatures were higher than the long-term average, and global temperatures are likely to rise a further 1.1 to 6.4 degrees in this century. Coming now to the Millennium Development Goals, Chair, and I'm not sure if I should also reflect on the water indicator, seeing that you've had a session with Water Affairs this morning, so maybe I will just quickly go over them. But and apologies if I repeat some of the information that you've received this morning. But I think, again, I just need to emphasize that the MDGs...
I can see where this slide is. I've got one little thin document here, and I don't see slides like this. Have you got extra slides there that are not part of our document?
It could be, Chair. I was given a slideshow yesterday afternoon and indicated that I can change it if I want to. And I've added one of
I've got no problem with you changing it, but then we must get copies of it. No use of having copies. But any case, go ahead.
Okay. The Millennium Development Goals were adopted in 2000 and set to achieve by 2015 the MDGs provide concrete numerical benchmark for tackling extreme poverty in its many dimensions. So what it provides is a set of targets and indicators. There are 21 targets that are measured by 60 indicators. Statistics South Africa coordinated the 2010 country report, and I want to emphasize that it is a country report. The previous report, the 2005 MDG report, was seen by many as a government report and not a country report. The eight goals, the eight Millennium Development Goals, were divided amongst five working groups, and the working groups comprised members of government and NGOs. I was part of working group five, looking at MDG 7, environmental sustainability. The 2010 report approach differed from the 2005 report in the sense that there was an invitation to NGOs to participate in providing statistics to be incorporated in the report. I also just want to bring to your attention, Chair, that as participants in the MDG process, as a department, our role was to provide the facts and figures, but not write the report. The report itself was written by consultants appointed by Statistics South Africa. In Working Group 5, which deals with MDG Goal 7, the departments, government departments involved in Working Group 5 was Department of Environmental Affairs with our statutory body SAMBI, the Department of Water Affairs, and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And it's these departments that provided the statistics to Statistics South Africa according to the quality standards that they require. If I can quickly just break down the MDG goals the targets and indicators. The first indicator is integrate the principles of sustainable development into country policies and programs. and reverse the loss of environmental resources. I think for the environmental sector, that's where the focus is, to reverse the loss of environmental resources. And the indicators that are proposed in the MDG is the proportion of land area covered by forest. Those forests include woodland, savanna, it includes indigenous forest, and it includes forest plantations. The next indicator is carbon dioxide emissions, then consumption of ozone-depleting substances, the proportion of fish stocks within safe biological limits, which was a new indicator introduced by the MDG, the Secretariat, and then the other indicator is the proportion of total water resources used, which was also a new indicator that was introduced. I'm just lifting this out so that the committee understands that when new indicators like this are introduced, one would normally expect them to have methodology sheets or methodologies attached to them. That means that there's a method in how you measure proportion of fish stocks within safe biological limits. Unfortunately, for some of these new environmental indicators proposed, the methodologies were not provided, and hence we could not provide the statistics to Statistics South Africa. The second target is reduce biodiversity loss.
I can understand it, but why can't you give the information?
Because, Chair, the issue here is that we do not understand what safe biological limits mean, and we do not have a full uniform understanding of what we talk about when we talk about fish stocks. Now we talk globally. When we report on the MDGs, the idea is that countries try to use as far as possible similar methodologies so that the statistics in the report is comparable between countries. Now, for this specific indicator, which was a new indicator, we did not have the data available to provide to Statistics South Africa. We still need to get an understanding of exactly
what proportion of total water resources.
And my understanding is that the Department of Water Affairs did provide statistics related to this specific indicator.
The next one, extinction?
Yes, we managed to provide information on extinction. That was provided by SANBI, the South African National Biodiversity.
Have we written to the United Nations to tell them this?
Yes, we have raised the issue with Statistics South Africa. Statistics South Africa is the coordinating body in South Africa. To my knowledge, I'm not sure whether they have in fact taken this higher up in the hierarchy. So the proportion of terrestrial and marine areas protected is the next indicator. Then the proportion of species threatened with extinction is another indicator. And for both of those, we could obtain data. Also, just for the interest of the committee, the proportion of species threatened with extinction, normally this is presented as information for plants, for mammals, and for birds. By the time that we had to submit the data to Statistics South Africa, SANBI could only provide the information for plants, not for the other groups. The other groups have since, I believe, become available. Target 7C is half by 2015, the proportion of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. And here the indicators are proportion of population using an improved drinking water source, the proportion of population using an improved sanitation facility. Chair, I believe that this morning's session would have touched on those issues. And then the next target is by 2020, to have achieved a significant improvement in the lives of at least 100 million slum dwellers. And the indicator there is the proportion of urban population living in slums. Again, just my reflection on these indicators is that urban population is not uniformly defined in the world, as well as slums are not uniformly defined, and each country may have a slightly different definition of what a slum is. So if I then turn to the facts, or the figures that are presented in the report, and I will quickly just go through the indicators. The proportion of land area covered by forest, plantations was 1.04% of the country, and currently it's 1.03%, so there's been a slight decrease. Unfortunately, there is no target set for the proportion of land area covered by forest. On carbon emissions, we can see that there's been a significant increase in both the total emissions between 1994 and 2007, I believe the latest data is. The per capita was in 1994 was 8.86 tons per person, and currently it's 8.82. The target there is 34%. My understanding is this is a 34% reduction.
Down per capita?
Yeah, we are a little bit down because of the increase in population. I think it's just that ratio that has changed slightly. The 34%, the 2015 target, unfortunately, in the NDG report, this is not correctly reflected. The 34% refers to the reduction from business as usual, I believe, by 2025. So it's not a 2015 target. It's not a 34% reduction from the baseline by 2015. That would not be possible.
Listen, you know, I want you to, I'm going to say it now really so that you, I really think that the committee would want to see a report from you explaining all the difficulties you have with reporting the NGO. So like this one.
Yeah.
You say the CO emission has been wrongly reflected. Incorrect.
Yes.
The plantations, we have been given no target, and we think that the Department of Forestry should be giving a target. The one on the previous one where you said the where we haven't been given what is meant by this by the UN.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't got any guidelines from the UN to explain what it is that we have to do, and we are proposing that we at least record the following information.
Yeah.
You know, so what I want you to do, because there's so many problems here you're listing, I want you to do just a short report and send us on each item where there's a problem.
Yes.
Like this.
Yeah.
And then explain, and then even if there's a possible solution.
Yes.
Okay. So just that I don't have to say it over and over when we get to talk.
So, Chair, I think from my perspective, I think it's fair to say that Statistics South Africa is used in working with social economic data, not environmental data. So I think there's also a learning curve on their side. But I will definitely provide.
If we've got those stuff, then we can make decisions as a committee. Do we want to call Statistics South Africa to come and explain the report, etc.? You know, we can then make decisions.
Sure.
But I need to know where the shortcomings are. Like, I'm now seeing them as you list them.
Yes.
Okay?
I'm just trying to be as honest as possible, Chief.
That you should be. If you're not honest, there's some backside kicking that's going to take place.
Consumption of ozone-depleting substances, the two indicators in the table that I've reflected there is HCFCs. These are the replacement for the CFCs that are used in refrigerators. They have a smaller ozone-depleting potential than CFCs. And the international target is freeze by 2030 and phase out by 2040. As you can see from the data there, we've dropped from 14.4 to 0 in 2009. Methyl bromide, it's a insecticide used in the agricultural sector.
Now the other thing you must do, which is difficult for me to read, is you must indicate, I'm going to give you a chance to redo this and give the document. You know, like 34%.
Yeah.
Now, north, is it a percent or is it north? Liters, or is it, you know, and then 225,
yes,
and 433 of white.
Yeah, sure.
So I think what we need to just, when you fix it up, just give us what are those measurements that are going.
Sure.
I mean, as I sit here now, I'm not always sure what exactly the figure is referring. Like the next one, 225, just liters or grams. Okay, so that's another thing you can do for us. Okay.
Sure.
Okay,
so methyl bromide has also decreased. It's supposed to be phased out by 2015. And the target achievability, sorry, I did not reflect that on that on the previous indicators, is that it's likely that we will be able to reach those targets for ozone-depleting substances. For CO2 emissions, it's also possible that we will reach that target of 34% reduction from the baseline.
By 2025.
By 2025, yes. Proportion of area protected, we've got two categories there, terrestrial and marine. The 1994 baseline was 5.8%, and in 2010 it raised to 6.2%. The target for 2015 is 9%. And it's entirely possible that we can reach this. I must also point out to the committee that we talk here about formally protected areas that have been gazetted. We're not talking about private conservation land. And I think if one starts to add those, the percentage will significantly increase. The number of species threatened with extinction was 676 in 1990. That's plant species, which increased to 2,458 by 2010.
Yep.
Again, there's no target. This data was provided to us by the Biodiversity Institute, but it doesn't look good. The next slide.
You must include that. You said the animals we got now.
We got them. Yes.
When you redrafted it, okay.
Chair, unfortunately, in your slideshow there is now not this presentation that's on the board, but I wanted to add this figure here because I think if one looks at the percentage increase in protected areas from 5 point something to 6 point something, it doesn't look a lot. But if we showed on a graph from 1994 to 2008, that's the figures that I had at the time, the increase was from 6 million hectares to almost 9 million hectares. So we've added... Yep, we've added almost 3 million hectares, which is a significant achievement. And the map then just shows how it looked when we compiled the NDG report. That was the spread of formally protected areas in South Africa. The next set of indicators is the proportion of population using an improved drinking water source. The baseline, 61.1%. Currently it's 92.4%, and the target is 80%. It means it has been achieved. I believe there's been a presentation this morning, so Chair, I'm not sure whether I should go through these. I think the last one in that table that I presented is the number of legally designated landfill sites. In 1994, we had no data, we had no idea. Currently, at least, we have a waste information system running, which shows us that the legally designated landfill sites is 870. Hopefully in time the department will also be able to report on the illegal waste sites. Again, there's no target. So in that last group, I think for the water indicators, they've either been achieved or they're likely to be achieved. I think so there the picture looks a little bit better than...
Whose target is it to have 0% in 2015 of people living in slums?
I think it's the government's target, Chair. Eradicate slums, I think.
And slums, I imagine, also include informal settlements.
I think that's the challenge.
Yes. Good luck. Because, I mean, the problem is with informal settlements, they spring up.
Yeah.
So if you don't say north of something, then you don't know. Because, I mean, you can eradicate 20 informal settlements by building houses, but then 10 new ones are shot up. So it's impossible to measure if you're not going to measure it against something specific.
Yeah.
To eradicate these 20 that exist now.
Yeah.
If you don't say that, I don't know how you... But okay, that's probably not our department.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it comes to the definition of slums. Informal settlements that have basic services may not be regarded as slums. The next slides just reflect very briefly on the logical links between environmental sustainability and economic activities. again, it says economic development depends on a sustainably managed environment and natural resource base. So it's important that we protect and manage our resource base. The enablers of implementation is the medium-term strategic framework, the government outcomes approach. And can I just again reflect here is that the department is now required to report quarterly on the progress that we make with outcome 10, which means that previously some of the indicators that I presented and the statistics that I presented here, we would only update once a year, maybe once in 5 years. Now we have to report quarterly. I think that's a great step forward. So that, you know, there's a saying which says that you can't manage that which you can't measure. So if we are better able to measure, I believe we will be better able to manage. But there will be challenges, for example, carbon emissions. There's a lot of modeling that goes into coming up with a figure, and whether one would be able to have the resources to do that on a quarterly basis may not be entirely feasible. Currently it's been done on a 5-year basis. The next slide. Also some logical links between environmental sustainability and economic activities. I think the national climate change policy, the water resources strategy, the 10-year innovation plan, the fiscal and market-based instruments that the department and other government departments can use, the Green Cities and Towns program, all in a way support sustainable development. And I think it's up to us to harness the energies there to make sure that the environment is protected. The conclusions from the NDG report, again, this is not the department's conclusions, it was the conclusions from the consultants that drafted the NDG report for NDG goal number 7, is that environmental sustainability underpins the achievement of the majority of the other 7 goals. So we cannot reach the target set out for the other goals if we do not look after the environment. Analysis revealed that environmental reservation is an essential foundation for sustainable development and poverty alleviation. However, the current indications suggest that the timetable for implementing the indicators will not be met in South Africa. To reverse the situation, greater effort is required to deal with the complex environmental issues to achieve the broader sustainability goals. And then just as a conclusion, South Africa will continuously integrate the principles of sustainable development into policies and programs. And in achieving the Millennium Development Goals, South Africa will require continuous interventions at international, regional, national, and local level. Chair, from my side, that was the broad perspective that I was asked to come and present to the committee.
I want to thank you firstly for, I mean, clearly you've added a lot of information from the first basic document we've got, which was probably drafted by some very junior people in the department and given to us. Thank God you intervened at some stage and added some information. Otherwise, this document would have been rather embarrassing. Secondly, I think we must go back and try and fix up the document. You know, the obvious things I said, and part of the document, tell us where there are problem areas, identify them, you know, where a target hasn't been set, which department's responsible, etc., etc., so that we know we have a list of those things which we can't achieve. Then there we come to these conclusions that are conclusions of other people. Say it, that it's the consultant's conclusion. Otherwise, we think it's yours. Then give us your conclusion, because we will have conclusions on the department. So I think a whole lot of stuff can be fixed up on this document. I also think that we need whatever information we gave for the drafting of the last country report, what information we gave and the part of the report that affects us. Please give us that. And then I think, please, Madame, record very clearly that when we give quarterly reports, wherever we give them, this committee would like to see the quarterly report that we give.
imagine you're giving it to statistics or is it to the president.
Okay.
I think that, you know, we need to see them, and if there is a problem with us having that knowledge, that it's available to us and the public, then we'll have to arrange sessions where you can come and inform us what is the quarterly response that we have. So that we start engaging as a committee much more on an ongoing integrated manner, not just pick up on this thing once a year, okay? So those are the immediate things I'd like you to do. Okay, any questions, any responses? I think when we get Dr. Kalia, Ms. Bengu, Dr. Huang.
I'd just like to make a comment. The Stats South Africa report does not report very favorably on the Department of Environment Affairs at all. In fact, it says that we will not meet the 2015 goals. Now, that's significant because it's not included here, neither are the recommendations included in here. And I think we need to take that on board.
Make that part of the next document you send us. I must say, I am very surprised that we allow consultants to draft these reports for us. I find it very amazing. Because, I mean, government needs to, I mean, these people are not in government. They do not have an understanding of government. And one should be able to report. So I must say, I find it very strange. That even, they not only do they draft the report, but they say that you can't give a narrative, that you must only give the statistics. So it means that the consultants then, you know, come to their own conclusions about this. I must say, I find that flabbergasted. Did I see Dr. Huang's hand? Doctor, are you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Of course, because Department of Affairs, the consultant, a lot of free. So consultant must do in the same contribute. But unfortunately, he can't make a conclusion to the this committee. True to your presentation, you say the South Africa is social data, not environmental data. I'd like to know this more detail from you. Why is we are cost 40% of the cost of sea? Then why is it not cost for the environment for the data? I think it's quite important. I quite confusing to me. So I also fully agree with I think this report must make advice for the new one, because it's I see it's not full from the department side.
I think you must also go and speak to your sister department, Water Affairs. I think Water Affairs gave a really good input. And they didn't just come here to try and report certain information. They actually looked at a process that had taken place of how we, from 1994, how we met or not met them. And what that does, it really empowers us. I mean, I thought everyone on the committee felt very empowered by the input, because what you're then seeing is not only the information you as officials want to come place for. I mean, you're putting our whole history in front of us. And I thought that was excellent to see how it had happened. So I think talk to your sister department and see to what extent you know, you can maybe take some issues from there as well. Let's have a quick response to some of these questions. Sorry, is another one yet? Mr. McTavish?
Thanks, sir. Very short. How do you, my question is in relation to indigenous forests, which I think we have a major role to play in its protection. But also the Department of Agriculture, Fishery and Forestry have a role to play. How do you is there a unit within your department as the one in what in agriculture, fisheries and forestry that works together in relation to the protection of this indigenous forest? Or how do you coordinate between the two departments?
Any other questions?
Chair, honorable members, let me respond firstly to the issue about environmental statistics. the social and economic statistics that are published by Statistics South Africa are regarded as official statistics. It means then that those statistics have been assessed and be found to be of such a quality that they can be regarded as official statistics. The problem that we have in the environmental field is that there really is very few environmental indicators that have gone through the process of being certified as official government statistics. The department is currently in the process to correct that. So we are identifying a core set of indicators of which the NDG indicators will form part. That will be certified. That means the methodology that we use to collect the information, to analyze the information, that will be certified by Statistics South Africa, evaluated by Statistics South Africa, and then certified as official statistics. So what we find, if I can just step a little bit back, is that in 2007, when we released the National State of the Environment report, there was a lot of environmental statistics presented in that report, which also painted some aspects of the environment in a bad way. Now, people then started to question the statistics, and because they were not official statistics, but rather just statistics from the department, they are not of such a high standing as official government statistics. And to set that right, we are now with my colleague. Those that are published by the statistician general under his signature. That's yes. Other statistics are. So I think Statistics South Africa some years ago realized that they would not be able to collect and manage all the statistics on behalf of all government departments in South Africa. So they have created this new government-wide statistics system where statistics units are established within government departments where preferably there will be a statistician in that section that knows how to deal with statistics, and then the statistics will have to conform to certain standards. Once it conforms to those standards, it will be certified by the statistician general.
Have we got such a
unit? Yes, we've just established that. We are in the process of appointing. There was a question about the relationship between the department and other departments, specifically with regards to forestry. I can only speak from my own dealings with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and that we do exchange spatial data with regards to indigenous forests. Those data sets are then used by the Biodiversity Institute to do a range of analysis as trying to identify areas that are suitable for future protected areas expansion. The data sets from forestry, as far as indigenous forests, are also used to identify those areas that are critically threatened in South Africa, and we have maps now for that. And then, of course, there is a relationship between the Biodiversity and Conservation Unit that deals with national parks and the forestry section. But how that specifically is formalized, unfortunately, I do not know.
Any other questions? on the Iraq War Conference here, that the bullet two, the manner in which it's written here is really too light, you know, industries are doing a lot of damage to the environment. If we become explicit and talk about non-compliance, I think it will send a message. But here it's very mild. And just to add on the working relationship with other departments, to be specific on the Department of Education, especially the last bullet, that, you know, with the old system of education, environmental issues were addressed from the lower primary schools. I'm not sure if our program does address it in the same fashion. That when we go to tertiary, we have the know-how. We also have schools where learners cannot afford school fees. But if we encourage them to do fundraising through, collecting rubbish bottles, cans, and whatever, making money when at the same time, making impact with respect to the environment.
Any other questions?
We have a section in the department that deals specifically with environmental education. I am not really familiar with the work that they do, but I do believe that they do play a role in the outcomes-based education, making sure that environmental issues are incorporated into the curriculums. I'm not sure if it's my place to make such a recommendation to the committee, but it might be a good idea to ask a senior official from the department to make a presentation on exactly what the department is doing with regards to environmental education, not only in the schools but also universities.
What I want to say now is not directed at the two of you, directed at your senior. I have said here this afternoon, the last day of the term, we've especially made arrangements coming together. This department has been exemplary in the work that they've provided to this committee. But the last two occasions have been very unfortunate. The last occasion this committee was unacceptably accused of things that have never happened and never done. Today, you can see that this matter has been handled by this department in a nonchalant way. In fact, and I sit here now and I was thinking, what has this been said to? I cannot remember a single thing that's been said. Now, if you go and look at your sister department, they have done a special document dealing with MDGs, looking at the issues, and gave us a wonderful input this morning that we can engage with. Even what you, as the way you started, you said, I was given this document yesterday and I'm told I can add to it, and then you add to it. I mean, this is shocking. This is not what I'm used to, this department. This department is a high quality. So I'm starting to wonder if there's a problem. Is there a problem that this department has with this one? That suddenly we are getting this kind of quality of work. Because, I mean, we're not used to it. I mean, when I speak to my members that were here previously in this committee, they've always said that this department is doing things. When we did our budget vote, we gave you lauding speeches and so on. Suddenly we get this quality of work. On something like the MDG, which I would thought a department would take very seriously. I mean, these are things that we have promised the world that we would do. And I thought that this department would be on top of it. In fact, this department, I raised this stuff during the budget votes, remember? I said that from now on I want to see in your annual reports, in your strategic plans, how you include these international obligations and to what extent we comply with it. I was able to say that to the department. There is no communication with the chairperson to say the DG is not going to be here. There's no communication to then tell me that a senior staff member, at least the DDG, is going to come and present something as important as the Millennium Development Goal. This poor gentleman is given the document yesterday and told to come and present yesterday and had to quickly add some things. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I really, members must help me here. I really do not know what to say about it. Because I know what quality work this department can. And if this department suddenly, in the last two times, do the things they have, then I must try to add a few slides to spice it up a bit. But I think you guys must go and sit if you look at your sister department, see how much effort they put into this, and you must know this thing is not going to go away. This thing is a permanent item on this committee. In fact, on Parliament's agenda. Sorry. It's on Parliament's agenda. In fact, if you look at the program that we get from Mr. Frulich's office, the Millennium Development Goals is part of the ongoing work that we have. So the quicker you get your house in order and you start giving us good reports on these things, the quicker we can start taking you seriously. I must tell you, I am not taking this department very seriously. You have to come and prove to me that there is, that you're serious about giving quality work for this. I really am very, very, very unhappy about it. You know what makes me more unhappy is that I forced these members to come here while all other people have gone home. The Parliament is finished and it's only committee work. I kept them here for this work and this is the quality. The only thing I say is that thank God Water Affairs came through for us this morning. He's a justifying GP. But to tell people to come and listen to things like this, and from a department that's got its act together, it's just unacceptable. They must please engage me as the chair. If there is something that they have a problem with this committee, they must tell us, and we will then engage them on whatever problem they have. But we will not take this kind of shabbiness and the kind of accusations we have in place. Okay. Is anyone on the committee that wants to add something or subtract something that I've said? Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for your efforts. And I can see you've got some good things there. I want you now to go and spice this report up nicely for us. Add all these things, the things that Dr. Kalyan has said, all the other things that I'm missing, and try and do a proper report for us to be engaged properly. Okay? Really, if you can please convey this. This is just, I don't know where this comes from. I don't know what that is. All right. Now, thanks, members. I think this was, in any case, a useful 2 days. I mean, yesterday I thought it was good, and this morning I thought it was good. So at least I kept you away from your home for something. But we are going to go now. I still don't have final approval of our plans for the recess, but let me tell you what we've written so at least you understand. The committee week begins on the 22nd of July. There's 3 weeks of committee week. So what we're planning is for everyone to fly up to
Kruger International.
The Kruger International. Wherever you live in the country, you fly on the Saturday afternoon. So that Sunday afternoon. So that we're there the Sunday evening.
I have plans to walk right.
You can walk there. you can just walk there. Then for 3 days, for 2.5 days, we'll engage there. You know the kind of things we're going to do. We want to look at those problems with the accommodation. I haven't added it, but I thought it was a good time also to look at the poaching problems, the rhinos.
Okay.
To then meet the entities in Mpumalanga, Kogwa. Yeah, remember we cancelled their meeting. Catchment agency.
And Bushpunk.
Bushello can drive up from northwest, and the other one, Bushpunk, really spotty. Zambia, I actually do want to stay away from it. I mean, those people really are personal.
They're in Cape Town anyway.
So, those are, you know, the entities that are there, plus the things in the Kruger Park. So, we are going to stay in the park. I think then the Wednesday afternoon we fly to East Mangalisa. To St. Lucia Causey Bay. I haven't looked at yet what our program is exactly there, but I know Mr. Morgan has given some suggestions that I've asked and so on. So we'll also chat to the guy that knows something about that area. But I suppose we would want to engage around the St. Lucia issue, you know, about whether the things would be open or closed.